Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Hey, this is me, Ron, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and you're listening to the Candor Podcast, which means you must own you an iPod. Ooh la la, ain't you fancy? I used to have a Nano Shuffle until it got stuck in my meat and then got covered in that German mustard dipping sauce I got inside of me, and now it don't work no more.
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And returning to the show, this might be his seventh time. I mean, you've surpassed the free sub mark at this point. Your blood, your family, Mr. Brian E. Lau, the creator of Staunch Ambition and Inferno City Firehouse. Thanks for being back with us, Brian.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. So excited to be out again, man. It doesn't seem like seven times.
I know it doesn't.
Like, you know, I don't know, man. I miss you guys, man. It actually, even though I've been on seven times, I haven't talked to you for a while, so.
It's been a little bit. It's been a little bit. But you're going to be in town here in a few weeks, I think, right?
With Wizard? Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. You're going to come up to see me at the Wizard World?
You bet. Yes, sir. Have to go get some drinks and play some arcade games afterwards, if you're down.
Yeah, maybe do the same thing last time.
Better place for us this time. Better place. But let's not bore the listeners with these details. Not bore them at all. Let's share with them the exciting things they're going to be hearing in this awesome episode. First, in our retro roundtable, we're going to be talking about classic cartoons, which excites the hell out of me. The inspiration being was just 50th anniversary of Scooby-Doo having first aired. 50 years. People feeling old yet?
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about classic cartoons, and boy, there's a lot of them out there. A lot of good ones. So I'm excited to do that. And then we're going to turn our attention over to Brian and see what he's been up to with Inferno City Firehouse and Staunch Ambition. But before we do all that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing, want to show some support, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, where you, for $5 a month, can get access to our Patreon pod. That's the only place you can get it, the Canned Air Patreon pod. And not only do you get that exclusive show, but you get the power to control the show. You choose the topics, what happens there. And if you don't, we just kind of take liberties.
Yeah.
Some liberties that are good, sometimes they're not. But again, you have the power to change that. So no bitching, you know.
They're controlling me right now? Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Patrons right. are controlling your every move, Brian.
Oh my God, something's going on with me. My left hand.
And we're also trying to think of, I've been really racking my brain on this recently, something pretty cool, some kind of exclusive album, something that we can make that you can only get on Patreon. That's just more than us just sitting down and thinking quick, what are we going to talk about? Something put together, something worth becoming a patron for. So once that happens, we'll tease you with little commercials of it and then put it up there for you to ogle at through the window until you fork over that $5. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, you get the free content. What else we got, Randy?
Columbus Wizard World's coming up here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I just released the lineup. If you guys are going to it, use Canned Air in the promo code. Get yourself 10% off.
You Smallville fans out there.
Or Princess Bride fans, or Yeah.
How fucking long has Smallville been off the air? Are people really still lining up for this shit?
That was the first one my wife knew, so.
Me too.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to go pay $50 to meet the asshole.
Who's there from Smallville?
Superman and Lex Luthor. What's his name in real life? That Lex Luthor guy. Michael Rosenbaum. That dude likes himself. Speaking of somebody who could probably sit and look at themselves in a mirror and be like, ooh, who's pretty? Who's a pretty boy? I bet it's him.
He was good as Lex Luthor, though, man. He was, that movie was up and down. It was a roller coaster as far as quality. But there was times where it was like hitting on all cylinders.
Listen to his podcast. And let's kick off the Retro Roundtable.
Hold on to your butts.
Spend no expense.
Excellent.
All right, gentlemen, classic cartoons. Where do we even begin? Randy, you want to kick this off?
Yeah, sure. So I tried to pick some ones that maybe aren't necessarily mainstream. Did you guys ever see Bump in the Night?
I've heard of it. Never seen it.
So I think it was a Disney production, but it was claymation. It was basically the adventures of a monster that lived under a boy's bed that eats socks and had like this toothpaste-looking best friend and a doll friend, too. But Jim Cummings did the voice of the main character, and then Rob Paulsen was also attached to it. So yeah, it was a pretty good show.
Voiceover royalty.
It was a show?
Yeah,
it was a show, like a series. Wow, never heard of it.
When was it? When was the series? Do you remember?
Had to be like early '90s, maybe mid '90s.
Okay, our ideas of classic are different.
Well, sorry.
Very, very different indeed. That's okay. Loose conversation, anything goes. Anything goes. I do remember hearing about it though. Never seen it. Never seen it. All right, Mr. Brian, what you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I think one of the masters, obviously, of classic cartoons would be Mel Blanc.
Of course. Yep. Yes, sir.
And I highly recommend you watch it. There's a documentary about Mel Blanc. You can get it for free on YouTube if you do a search. But the guy, actually, I was always a big fan of Mel Blanc, so you got to look at the original Looney Tunes and that. He was the genius behind that. Obviously, there's other great, contributors, but... And then when you watch the documentary about Mel Blanc, that guy was one of the most famous people in the world. Actually, Jeremy, I think, have you seen that documentary?
I haven't, no, but I actually was writing it down as you said it because I have to make a point to watch it. I've got mad respect for him, and what I have seen of him is crazy impressive. I would love to know more.
Oh, yeah, he was larger than life, more than I even thought or knew. When you start getting in, it's kind of like Charlie Chaplin, who was even so influential,
right?
And it's, you know, he did stuff more than just acting, right? So, but I would have to go with the Looney Tunes. Growing up with the Looney Tunes, man, from Bugs Bunny to Foghorn or to Tasmanian Devil. I don't know how many great characters can you just get out of that.
Yeah, quite a few, apparently, quite a few. It's funny, though, because Looney Tunes remains one of my definitive favorites, like, and always will. And it's a shame because, you know, obviously everyone knows it was deemed too violent and got pulled off of. I mean, they used to play like every day on Cartoon Network. Right. At any time, you could turn on some, you know, good Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry and enjoy it. And they pulled it, and they put up the new PC Looney Tunes, which is why even bother? Don't humor that shit, people. Right. Come on. But on, I don't know if it was like Looney Tunes or Bugs. It was Bugs Bunny's birthday, maybe. Here within the past few months, they actually did a whole Looney Tunes block on Cartoon Network. So I thought that was cool, and I wish they would continue that trend.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I think that... SpongeBob really took a lot from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix between Looney Tunes
and Ren and Stimpy. Yeah. It really is a good cross, isn't it?
Itchy and Scratchy on The Simpsons was, you know, complete absurdity, you know, to the nth degree on Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes.
And there are people who on YouTube have made compilations. They've cut every Itchy and Scratchy out of the Simpsons catalog and made it just so you can just go watch Itchy and Scratchy.
That's great.
It is. I love it.
What was Elmer Fudd? Elmer Fudd was like banned in like the Soviet Union back in the day because he wasn't wearing any pants. And I mean, it was like back then that was like cutting edge stuff, man.
Yeah. You know? Before he had his like big light bulb head, you know, like the Elmer Fudd we all know, he was much more portly of a fella.
Really?
Oh yeah. Like some of my favorite classic cartoons, I'll just merge right into what my pick was going to be is, and I know you guys have seen them like at Walmart or any store you go to, a collection of classic cartoons, 100 cartoons on a DVD for $1 or mm-hmm. something like that. And, I picked up a bunch of these things. Loved them. And I'm talking like old Felix the Cat, Betty Boop, old Three Stooges cartoons, original Elmer Fudd, Daffy Duck. And these are things that have been pulled, like Daffy Duck, you know, fighting the Nazis and shit. And so it's
really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I used to love that stuff. I used to turn those old cartoons on and just fall asleep to them. They were so soothing. Casper the Friendly Ghost, that was another one that was on there. Popeye the Sailor Man. I mean, just Popeye good shit.
It was Porky the Pig that would have no pants, not the Elmer the Fudd. But
I was going to say, I don't remember the Elmer the Fudd no pants era.
I was watching the different Looney Tunes.
Well, them tunes be loony, right, Brian.
Yeah, the loony, man. Did you ever get into the, what was it called? The babies, the loony, Tiny Tunes, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There was some, you know, it never, I don't think it ever approached the caliber of Looney Tunes. I don't know if it would be very hard to do, but there's some great characters. They did some good stuff with that, though.
Really struck on a different chord than Looney Tunes, though. I felt they were masterful at a, I wouldn't even say a new kind of humor, but a different kind that they were bringing forward, and it was firing on all cylinders. It was great.
Yeah, there was enough adult humor in there to keep like the parents entertained.
And it's kind of like what Teen Titans is doing nowadays. Yeah. The Teen Titans Go. Like I've every time I flip past that show, like you see stuff in there that's obviously for kids, but there's stuff in there that kids won't know, like Golden Girls references and stuff like that. Like.
Right.
5-year-olds aren't going to know that shit, you know? Yeah, it's funny, though. You bring up the baby aspect. Not that I don't think Looney Tunes was that. You know, they were. Who were they to Bugs Bunny? Like, who was Buster to Bugs? Like a nephew or some shit?
Something.
I think so.
They always had to make him like a nephew, like Kermit and Robin.
Yeah.
They couldn't just be a son because that would imply the character fucked at one point, right?
Yeah. It's funny you should bring that up.
Oh, shit. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go. Segues into one of my next ones. Did you guys, again, this isn't as old, but did you ever see the cartoon James Bond Jr.?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, and it's funny because the last time we were at the Korg's Con, I saw a James Bond Jr. action figure that I regret not buying, but yeah.
So, just to for whoever hasn't, so it features James Bond's nephew.
James Bond Jr.
Not his illegitimate son, as if anybody has seen any James Bond movie, would assume that there's probably quite a few of them running around. But basically, it takes place at an academy with kind of like a menagerie of other characters. But they brought in a few of the recurring villains from the movies. So you had like Jaws, Knick Knack, a hip hop odd job.
Yes.
It was
the theme song was the most memorable thing.
Yeah,
in my opinion, which I think I'll have to put at the end of this episode now. Stay tuned at the end of the episode for James Bond Jr. theme song. I'll probably just put it over our talking.
Yeah.
You'll hear it.
Yeah.
You'll hear it. All right. I got to finish a point really quick about the baby thing, though. Like, because not only did Looney Tunes do that, but in the 90s especially, the classic cartoons like Popeye had like... Now, they didn't do the kids aspect, but there was definitely a modernized Popeye where I think there were added children.
Okay.
There was a Tom and Jerry Kids. There was Flintstone Kids, a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Muppet Babies.
And then this one was even stranger, Potato Head Kids, because that really didn't have anything to derive from. There wasn't a Potato Head cartoon.
Huh.
So why go straight to the kids other than it was like a successful trope at the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like they're all into themselves, you know, like, we don't even need to do the Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
We just go right to the, we're so great, the kids are going to be the stars.
And how horrible for Mr. Potato Head. I mean, that's like writing songs for years, and then when it's time to go on tour, they put some pretty kids out there and say, oh, you just stay back here and keep writing your shit, you know? who are we back to?
I think Brian.
Brian, what you got?
I'm going to go not so classic. But I'm going to tie it into superheroes here. And I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I've loved Spider-Man my whole life. But I think back on my whole life watching Spider-Man cartoons, and I was never really into the cartoons, like 90s, 80, I think, what, 80s, 90s, even the 70s, all that. You know, obviously mm-hmm. It was old stuff, but I don't think they ever captured Spider-Man's wit, or they ever really captured it. I mean, of course, they did some things right here and there, but finally, they did a cartoon that I loved, and I thought it was awesome, but then it gets canceled. The Spectacular Spider-Man was up for a season, you know, and it was produced or written by Greg Wiseman, and it was hitting on all cylinders. The theme song was like, it's like one of the greatest theme songs in a cartoon. You know, there's some that have great ones. This is one of them. Mm-hmm. And then when Disney bought Marvel, it was canceled because it, you know, there was problems with the rights transferring and all crap in the TV channel it was on. But have you guys ever watched that Spectacular Spider-Man?
No. Was
that the one on MTV?
No, not the animated one. No, it was a cartoon style, actual, you know, traditional looking, but the style of the art looked was interesting. It was like almost like they didn't have normal eye pupils and stuff, and it was kind of a gutsy style choice. And at first it's quite unique, but then you really get into it. But the writing was amazing. Like, they would actually character develop, and instead of rehashing like the Uncle Ben story, the way they dealt with kind of touching in on how he lost Uncle Ben was so fresh. And it wasn't like, you know, how every time you've seen it in a movie over and over and over, it was like where he was like being visited by the ghost of Uncle Ben. And there was, it was like, they were very creative way, but then, they broke my heart. It's worthwhile to watch the whole season though. If you want to see like quality Spider-Man and his surrounding cast.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
I love that old 90s cartoon. I mean, that's the one that got me into it. But you talking about the Spectacular Spider-Man makes me think of, have you heard of the cartoon Beware the Batman?
I have, but I haven't seen that.
No, you won't, because it was a very flash in the pan kind of show. It came on the air around the same time we started doing this show. So it was like 2013, I think. And it was a like a 3D cartoon, you know, like a Pixar looking. It wasn't done by Pixar, but that kind of a cartoon.
Right.
And, you know, I don't like it when animators get a little crazy with character design, you know,
like over-exaggeration,
like the Kingpin in the Spider-Man.
Okay.
Edge of Universe.
Right, where that was like huge.
And his head's tiny. Like, what the fuck? Like, just make a big dude, you know?
Right.
A little bit of that happening in this show, but not to the point where you can't enjoy it. But only one season was done. They aired like the first 6 episodes, and then it disappeared. And I guess it was just bad ratings, or like Ryan was saying, maybe something with rights or scheduling, whatever it was. They bled out the rest of the season at 1:00 in the morning when nobody was up.
And man,
just really? Yeah, so I had my DVR set, and I watched it over and over. It was a little bit of a different take on Batman, a few different new characters, but it was still really dark, and it was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I was really surprised they canceled it and kept shows like, there was the Batman cartoon.
Okay, yeah.
That looked god-awful.
And that was like geared more towards kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But so was the animated series, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but it was darker. This was kind of like 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know why I'm trying to replace the perfect Batman show with another throughout the years, you know? The animated series is perfect. And I kind of feel the same way about the Spider-Man one from the 90s. That one, I just love that series front to back. Yeah, there's problems with it. Yeah, the animation is not the best, especially here in 2019.
Right.
But damn, I love that show. I just feel it's so accurate to the comic.
It's nostalgic, and I enjoyed it. It's just never, you know, like based on the cartoons alone, I would never have, you know, Spider-Man would have never became my favorite character. You know, it was from the comics where,
right,
you know, I fell in love with the wit and just the sarcasm and then, you know, his troubles and all that. And the cartoons were always enjoyable, but they never drew me in as much as the comics until I watched that Spectacular. So, yeah, I recommend it if you guys check it out. You know, you can watch some of the videos.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely will. Randy, are we back to you?
I can go. Talking about shows with awesome intro music. Do you guys remember Dino Saucers?
What? Dino Saucers?
Have you never seen Dino Saucers? Uh-uh. Okay, so basically...
Brian, you?
Was it robot dinosaurs?
No, so basically it was similar. It was almost like Transformers, but with like alien dinosaurs. Like, the good dinosaurs came down, and there was the bad dinosaurs, and they, like, met a bunch of kids, and there was, like, the good guy equivalent dinosaur, like, there was, like, a T-Rex, and a Stegosaurus, and a long-necked dinosaur, and they had, like, the evil equivalents on the other side.
Hmm.
So, the intro was awesome.
No, I'll have to look it up.
Have to clip that on the end of this episode, too.
There's only one end of the episode to put a song, and it's already spoken for, Randy.
Sorry.
Did the bad dinosaurs wear leather jackets and smoke?
No, no.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
It wasn't like Grease, no.
They come snapping the fingers like this together.
So they would, like, transform?
No, it was done similar to, like, the Transformers theme of, like, the aliens coming and befriending kids and trying to, typical late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, trope. Yeah. They were trying to find their footwork in that time era.
Yes, they were.
I think that was when cartoons were starting to switch over from being solely toy commercials into actually meaning something.
Right.
Or trying to.
Yeah, and then they copied the other ones.
But I think of Hanna-Barbera when I think classic cartoons. The Smurfs, probably first and foremost. That's the earliest I can remember adoring. I mean, I had Smurfs clothing, sleeping bags, figurines. I had it.
Yeah.
Power wheel, even.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Why did the Smurfs need a power wheel?
Yeah, not much really made sense about that show, but it was good. It was like you think about it and it's like, you know, their whole language, Smurf, and then they have one female. There's a lot of problems there. You can
figure a lot of problems. Yeah.
And then you throw them in the water and they become snorks.
Yeah. Right. What happened to Mama Smurf, I wonder?
Maybe Gargamel got her.
Maybe. That'd be cool if they made that shit dark.
Yeah.
Like, Papa's been hiding some secrets, but my God, maybe she just died giving birth to a whole goddamn village of elves. I mean, it's got to take a toll on a body, right?
Yeah, they are about the same age, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one baby. There was Smurfette, and then there was a baby. So maybe that was hers. Back to Hanna-Barbera. I'm sorry, Brian, what were you saying?
Was the water Smurfs, was that actually in the show, or is that some side thing someone did?
What, the Snorks?
Yeah, is that what you call them? Snorks? Was that actually in the Smurf show?
No, that was a whole separate cartoon.
Was it really?
In like 84, 85, I think it was.
Yeah, but it was basically Smurfs underwater.
Essentially. They're little underwater creatures that if you were to hold next to a Smurf, like their head design looks almost identical, except instead of like the little white hat, you take that off and they just had like a straw, that
like
ejected.
Like a snorkel.
Straw thing came out of their head. Oh, I don't know, Brian. I don't know. But I watched the hell out of them. I do remember that.
So why don't you rank, what is your favorite cartoon, man? What do you think is...
like ever or just of classic?
I don't know. I guess ever. What?
Mm.
I'm almost SpongeBob. SpongeBob's so freaking good for so long.
Yeah.
The Simpsons, they're in the category,
That's
right?
That's what I was going to say. I was just going to say my favorite would have to be modern and classic, The Simpsons.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue with that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can. Try it, Randy. Fucking try it.
If I had to say, like, my all-time favorite, hands down, would have to be, like, the 90s X-Men.
Wow, okay. I mean, I get it. I get it for sure. For that one did not age well with me, but I get it.
Yeah.
It was a fun show. The Simpsons have just always, I remember them coming on the air in second grade. I remember when they first came out.
Right.
And, like, it being the shit. And like my mom, like, you are not watching that shit. Yeah. You know, it was like when Beavis and Butthead came right. out or anything, you know, new comes out like that. So funny, though. We've become so desensitized. There was a time in life where The Simpsons were too extreme for American culture.
Too edgy.
Let your head wrap around that for a second.
Yeah, that is. It's so weird to even imagine that.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But
my God, it was real.
It's like back in the Ed Sullivan show, and they wouldn't even show below the weight, you know, the chest of Elvis, because they didn't want to show him shaking his hips.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know,
too extreme.
Yeah, they can't even comprehend the mindset. That was modern culture.
It's no wonder those girls were like screaming the way they were. Like, we can actually see his hips now.
That's a good point.
What else? Let me see. Other classic Hanna-Barbera. I mean, again, I've already mentioned the Flintstones just quickly, but that was one that was in syndication heavy during my growing up. That and the Jetsons. And the Flintstones, though, you know, going back to like those first season or two, are still in black and white. And I don't know if they're DVD extras on the actual DVDs I have, but I know they're on YouTube, where Fred and Barney are doing commercials for Winston's cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
And I'm having a flashback. That we patched that audio into one of the very first episodes we ever did on this show. But I'm going to have to think. I'll put it back in here.
Okay.
They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back
where we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
Hey, I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette chug.
But yeah, Fred and Barney ditching out on their chores while Wilma and Betty are working. They're out back smoking cigarettes.
That's hilarious.
It's priceless. You guys have to check it out on YouTube. Just type in Flintstones cigarette commercial. Okay. You will not be disappointed. I promise.
All right.
What about some of those old Looney Tune ones where they had like what was it, the Mexican frogs? And now you'll never see them ever, you know, played anymore because they're politically incorrect, you know.
The Mexican frogs.
Was it? It was the like they were like yeah. You so you might not.
Were they like a mariachi band?
Yeah, or they would talk like hey, Ringo. I can't even imitate them. It's been so long since I've seen them because you can't find them anywhere because you know they're politically incorrect. So
right.
You know stereotyping and all that. But
weren't they trying to do that with Speedy Gonzales too?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to get offended by everything nowadays. So
right.
Back then, you know, political correctness is just crushing everything. But yeah, there was so many like things like that that I think they you can't find them anymore.
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to, do they? What do you got, Randy?
So I'll go a little bit older on this one. Super Friends.
One I never watched.
Really?
Never watched that.
There was a crap ton of variations of them. One had like a Scooby-Doo-like super dog with like the Amazing Marvin.
Ugh.
And I think it was just like Superman and Batman. And then I think another one was one with the Wonder Twins and that freaking monkey. But the one I always liked and I always remembered was I think it was the Challenge of the Super Friends that had like Green Lantern, Firestorm, Legion of Doom, like everybody
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
No, I've never seen it, but I think Adult Swim did a lot of voiceovers with like clips from old Super Friends shows and stuff, and like with the Legion of Doom.
Yeah,
like I think of the Solomon Grundy wants pants thing.
Yes,
Solomon whoop Grundy want pants too.
Did you ever watch any of the Super Friends, Brian?
Oh yeah, growing up with the old ones, the Wonder Twins, man. Power, yeah. Power. Was it? Is the Wonder Twins and Power Twins the same thing, or is it?
Where
they would activate the rings, you know, power activate and turn into a monkey. That one would turn into an animal and the other one would turn into some element.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, when you were a kid, that was the shit, man. You're like, you know, you would react it with your friends and then you'd But when you think about it, they never really went anywhere because it's not really that much you can do with it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, though. They should do something with that Wonder Twins, or the Power Twins, or whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah.
Well, if this comic book movie bang, you know, this wave we've been riding for the past 10 years keeps on going, I imagine once we've gotten through all the B material, they'll get there. Give it time.
It's still a staple in my childhood, those two characters, but outside of that cartoon of the classics, I don't think they really went much.
Yeah. Disney has Marvel now, and Disney has everything. And now that it's like giving a kid a gun. They're just going to shoot it the fuck off as many times as they can until you're like, whoa, slow down. I mean, look at Star Wars. Yeah. They got Star Wars. They just start throwing shit out left and right, and people immediately are like, what the fuck? Back up. You're taking away what's special about Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
It went from nothing to just, you know, everywhere you turn. Didn't they pull back the reins on Star Wars a bit now because they realized they were, you know, they were shooting themselves in the foot? Yeah, that's good.
But I just saw an ad for Force Fridays coming, so son of a bitch, I'll probably be there.
it's worth checking it out. It'd be good.
Gotta get them toys, Brian. Gotta get them toys. All right, well, let's see what else. I mentioned Popeye, too. Another great cartoon I used to watch all the time. And again, with the reboot that it was in the 90s. But any Popeye fans here?
Yeah, I used to watch it some. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love spinach. So I always felt like I had a connection with Popeye growing up. And, when I get strong, eat the spinach. Now, what his villains, didn't he? He had, was it Brutus?
Mm-hmm.
And
Brutus and who?
Pluto or
Bluto?
Bluto?
Yeah, I think it was Bluto.
Bluto, and I don't know. I think he had both. I think it was kind of the same character, though.
Character, but they changed the name or something.
Yeah,
one of them was like a villain. And then how can you not love Popeye? Because I mean, olive oil is just smoking hot.
Shit. It's funny. When I have my hair back like it is now and this like little like bun in the back of my head, my silhouette looks like olive oil, dude.
Getting hot, warm.
Yeah.
What did you think of the musical movie with Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall, I think it was?
Never seen it.
Never saw the Robin Williams?
I've seen clips of it. I mean, you give me anything with Robin Williams, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I should watch it. Blasphemy.
Great movie, man. You got to see it. You got to see that.
I've got to see it. I would agree.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian's got a running list of movies he has to see.
Look at this one. Jaws. I still haven't seen Jaws. He brought that over for me to watch because I haven't seen Jaws. Yeah, that look of disgust on your face is very just.
Probably. The greatest, like, that's definitely Spielberg's best movie. I mean, and that's saying a lot, right?
You look like I just called your mother a swear word. Like, that's the face I'm getting off you right now.
Yeah, now I'm hot looking at you in a different way. it's older, right? So, you know, it's not going to have the impact because that movie influenced so many other movies. So you're going to have to try to watch it and appreciate, like, what it was like when that thing came out, because that came out and there was nothing like it, you know, before.
That movie made the summer blockbuster. That movie is responsible for the summer mega movie-thons we have. That movie is everything.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it, though. I'm going to watch it.
I watched it with my kids. And then we went swimming.
In the dark.
When we saw that growing up, I don't know about you, but when I saw that as a kid at the theater drive-in, dude, I was afraid to go in a swimming pool. That's how effective that was.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was scary as fuck.
Yeah, it's funny. We just, what was it, last week? The week before, we had...
was when Ashley was on.
Last week, Ashley West came on. We were talking about Jaws. That's what spurred him to bring it this week. But she said the exact same thing. She said after seeing Jaws... the bathtub, swimming pools, all that stuff was too much.
It was like, it moved. It was effective, man. And that's, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to John Williams, man. That music
was
haunting, perfect.
John Williams is a master.
I don't know if you guys ever noticed it, but it already always cracked me up. Like all the adult movies of the 80s and 90s, how they could make that into kids TV shows.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, one that comes straight to mind when you say that is Beetlejuice.
Yeah. or the Mortal Kombat cartoons, yeah, or Swamp Thing, or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, because when you look at their source material, like, you wouldn't, I mean, a little kid might would probably be freaked out by Beetlejuice. Yeah. I mean, there's not extreme language, I don't think.
No, but there's some pretty graphic, disturbing stuff. Pretty graphic, stuff in there.
Disturbing things that a child would might be too extreme for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. No, I agree with you there, and I know there's other examples. I remember, man, in the early 90s, in the height of Rescue 911, you guys remember that show? It was on Sunday nights. It was like 7:30 Sunday nights. And all it was a half hour show that would tell you about real 911 calls, things that had happened. But then, like, the whole thing was acted out like dramatization.
Hmm.
Right. And they, like, every episode, they do two or three. And it was, like, the shit. That show was, like, the shit. Everyone watched that show. Like, we would play Rescue 911 at school. Wow, like, on the playground. Like, we were so about it. But anyway, they... yeah, I guess the kids' answer to that was they made a show, a cartoon called Just Cops.
Okay, yep.
And just had these extreme characters, one of which I had. He was, like, this really tall dude with, like, a Tom Selleck mustache and covered in, like, armor. And he came with this, like, robot canine dog that had, like, a siren on his back. He was legit. He was the shit. He was awesome. It's funny, though. Wow. Kids shouldn't have had that toy. They shouldn't have come out of other people's misery, that whole height, that whole thing of popularity.
That shows what's wrong with the world, you know.
Do you remember that show? Do you remember Rescue 911, Brian?
Sounds familiar. I think so. I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Been like eight,
I've seen a lot of shows like since then, but you're talking about this was like the originals.
Late 80s, early 90s. And that shit would scar you, too. Like, I still remember shit from that show that, like, would haunt me as a child. Like,
it's because it's based on real things that happen, too. It's not just fiction.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's just it. Yeah. Yeah. I guess he figured it out, didn't he? Moving along. Yeah. What else we have, gentlemen? Classic cartoons.
I don't know. I think I said my pieces of the ones that came to my mind. I mean, Futurama, I think, is worth mentioning as an offshoot of The Simpsons, maybe, because I think Futurama is just a little bit lower only because it came after The Simpsons, but love Futurama.
Well, it was one of those shows that had the same kind of Family Guy thing happen, where it came, it was canceled, and through DVD release and popular demand came back, and man, thank God it did, because it gave us just the definitive ending to a series. Like, the best ending I've ever seen with any series. Ever. Ever.
Bar none.
Even you, Bob Newhart, it beat yours out.
Yeah, didn't we do an of all time on that?
Hey,
best ending or something.
I twist hear ending. Wheels a turning. No, wait, did we already do? We
did a best twist ending. I think that was might have been the first one we did.
No, the first one was the fights.
Oh, the first one was.
I'll have to go look. You're right, though. I think we did do that, or maybe just the best endings of all time.
They're all worth checking out. I think we've done three of them, two or three of them. So we need to do another one. We'll do it.
Agreed. Yeah, we'll get that. We'll definitely do that.
Sweet.
All right, gentlemen, I think we've tapped the classic cartoon front. Unless you had anything you want to mention, Randy?
I've just got one quick one. So the first, like, dark cartoon I ever remember seeing, did you guys ever see The Pirates of Dark Water?
I remember it. I think Jack remembers it much more than I do. But, I do kind of remember that.
Yeah, it was just a real dark cartoon. Pirates set in kind of like a almost like Peter Pan-ish type of world. I just remember there's like a lot of back and forth and like characters backstabbing each other, and not physically, but, you know, just switching sides and stuff like that. And there were
some pretty gnarly characters in that lineup too, like half skeleton guys. Like, wasn't there?
Like, there was like the bad guys flying. Yeah, there might have been. It's been a minute.
Yeah, there was also an actual Peter Pan cartoon in the early 90s, too.
I remember you mentioning something about that with that video game you saw.
Yeah. But I don't know if other people would remember it or not. It wasn't based around Disney or anything. It was just like its own take, Peter Pan. And I remember watching that. I don't remember shit about it, but I remember watching it.
Okay, I knew I was forgetting one. I don't know why I didn't mention this first. Probably the greatest memories I have with my kids, you know, doing something like watching something together. Was the one of my favorite, probably my favorite cartoon series ever, is Avatar: The Last Airbender. I don't know why I didn't mention it, because we're thinking classic. That's not that old.
That's out the window.
The movie, I just have to mention Avatar: The Last Airbender for a couple reasons. It's one of the greatest. It's like the world building and the character development. But the movie, M. Night Shyamalan just ruined the franchise for a while there. But they're going to be doing a live action version of it. It's coming out in 2020, I think. They're starting to work on it.
Didn't they do like a sequel series to that called like The Life of Korra or something?
Legend of Korra, yeah, which beautifully done, you know, some good choreography in it, but it just never touched. It never got close to how awesome Avatar: The Last Airbender was.
Gotcha.
So it was good, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't.
You're watching it wishing you were watching Avatar.
Oh my gosh, you get submersed into this world. I mean, it's the characters and the world building, the world they build in that. And the rules and it's like almost sometimes you might think it's a cartoon for kids. Some, you know, often cartoons are more focused toward kids, but this one, man, it's like, you know, they would have to start each episode with previously on, you know, because it was involved. So
I love those kind of shows. So I love when the story bleeds over into one great big watchable thing. Yeah, I've never seen that, but I've heard a lot of people talk well, good about it, you know.
If you ever have kids and you want to watch something with them that you're going to like enjoy tremendously, watch Avatar. I've gotten many of my friends with kids into that show, and it's a whole family thing. Everybody, because it's for everybody.
I'll have to start that with my 8-year-old son.
Yeah.
You're going to thank me because I'm telling you, you're going to have that bond. I kid you not. My kids to this day, adults now. And it's like, it's just great memories, man. It's like, you're going to love it.
That's awesome.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Kind of making me want to watch it with the cat.
Oh, no, you don't want to watch it with a cat. They do a lot of cats in it. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for the retro this week, but lots of good picks there. And I'm digging the different concept of the word classic, whether it be classic because it's old, classic because we love it, nothing can replace it. Got a lot of interesting picks that way.
Yeah.
I dig that. Another classic show you're going to want to keep your eyes out for. Season 10, premiering September 29th at midnight on Adult Swim. And at 12:15, Robot Chicken, ladies and gentlemen, is coming back. You can believe that. Season 10. Season 10.
That's crazy.
And they, again, sent us an amazing, like, retro-style 80s metal lunchbox with thermos.
Yeah, the thing is badass.
Chicken soup in a robot chicken thermos. Inside a robot chicken lunchbox.
Hell yeah. Watching Robot Chicken.
Watching. Just chilling with soup at your side. Not eating it. Just knowing that it's there.
It's there for your future enjoyment.
Exactly.
Just like us.
Check out our social media. I've already thrown up a picture of said lunchbox and thermos, and a great gift from them. Thanks again for sending that our way. And once more, set your DVR. September 29th, that's Sunday at midnight, and 12:15, the season 10 premiere of Robot Chicken, ladies and gentlemen. And with that, let's turn our attention over to Mr. Brian E. Lau and just see what has been up with him as of late. I've been seeing on your social media that your Inferno City Firehouse project has kept you pretty damn busy, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Like, as you know, I took a break between issues 3 and 4 on Staunch Ambition.
Right.
And I was a little hesitant to do that because, you know, that's a series. But this, as if you can imagine, you know, think back your whole childhood collecting comics. How often have you seen comic books or graphic novels dealing with firefighters?
You don't.
You know, they may be here or there, you know, but like a main story or whatnot. So, yeah, doing that graphic novel diversifies what I'm working on, and it's like turning heads, you know, in a way because it's unique and it has that same catch. It's based, you know, it's got true stories based on true stories. So, that book has been opening some doors. Actually, I'm going to probably be doing my first firefighter show this weekend. So sometimes they have shows where they show new gear and trucks and, you know, all these firefighters come together. So in Canada, they're doing a show that has, it's not too far from Detroit. So, and they're going to be featuring Detroit equipment and vehicles there. So the guy wants me to put a table up. And I think I mentioned to you that a director contacted me when he saw Metro Times did an article on my book, and he came to Detroit and we filmed me for like 6 hours, and you know, he wants to put the book in this documentary about firefighters and PTSD. The documentary is called Florian Knights, named after a motorcycle group that is active or retired firefighters that ride motorcycles, you know, as a wind therapy. And so it kind of follows them and goes into different states, you know, all kinds of different regions. So they came to and did ride-alongs with the Detroit Fire Department. And he just contacted me the other day, speaking to be on subject here. He contacts me the other day through text, and it's been hard to get a hold of him because he's right now he's editing the documentary. So he's, as you can imagine, extremely busy. But he's like, hey, do you know any editors that can edit like in the style of my book, Erwin Arosa's, my interior artist? And you've seen it, right? The Erwin Arosa's pencils are like realistic.
Right.
So he's kind of not sure if he's going to do some animation in this documentary dealing with, you know, I either my pages or that style. But he's kicking it around. So I'm kind of intrigued to see where he's going to go with it.
That's incredible, man. Like the heads it's turned and the doors it's opened for you in such a short time just speaks to the testament of the book and how... I don't even know what the words I'm looking for. Just how I think everyone can get on board with it. Like you said, it's never been done. It's talking about true life. I guess talking kind of like harking on the same thing we were talking about earlier with Rescue 911. Like, why was that so popular? And like you said, well, it's real. Why did it leave such an impact? It's real stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this book's, you know, I'm getting a lot of good. I've got nothing but good feedback. You know, so different parts of this book hit people at different areas, you know. So I took true stories from different firefighters, you know, everywhere from my grandfather. I lived with a Detroit firefighter and I went and did ride-alongs with him. And I just took different true stories and compiled them together and kind of fit them together into a narrative. And so, yeah, it's not an easy book to read at times, but, you know, ultimately, it deals with hope, but it also deals with hope in context to when hope really is needed, right? When things hopeless. That's the only time really hope has any value, is when things seem hopeless. But the book, I'm pretty stoked about the book, happy with it and the reception. And then I'm working on a new poster. So the book ends. I wanted to end with a splash page pinup. So I have this original poster I did. The way I got tied in with the Detroit Fire Department is I did a poster for them years ago when I was going to college with the Renaissance building. It's a famous building downtown Detroit. It's called the GM building now. But Mike Nevin, president of the Detroit Firefighters, now he at the time back then was like, I want to do a poster with a dragon wrapped around the Renaissance Center. And then a firefighter taking them on with water. So we did that poster, me and my friend, years ago. But then it's more comic booky looking, you know, the traditional style.
Sure.
But then I got Erwin to do, instead of the Renaissance, I have the Joe Louis Fist, which is a famous, you know, like Detroit kind of a statue thing. And so I wanted to show something in Detroit and then the dragons. It's the last page of the book at the pinup. It's black and white in the book. But then this dragon's like taking on, there's like these three firefighters going at him. And right now I'm putting color to that. That's going to be a poster coming out soon.
Wow.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll send you guys the, it's almost finished, but I still got some hours to put into it.
Sure, sure. I'm going to be excited to see that. Sounds freaking awesome.
Saying you can see the black and white version in the book. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So what's next then? What's next with all this? I mean, you have your book, you're designing this poster. What's the next steps with Inferno City Firehouse?
Well, right now I'm gonna explode if I'm not doing something creative. So that's why I'm working on the poster. I'm trying to just focus on recouping because it's such a big, you know, bite putting all the money up front production. You know, the Kickstarter helps, but the Kickstarter by no means is paying all the bills. And printing, you know, I paid all that up front. So it's like right now I just need to, you know, I got a good amount printed. So right now I just need to get the book out there. And I'm kind of curious to see what this marketing is going to be like for this documentary and see where that takes the book as well. You know?
Yeah, that's
but
a good point.
The question is, do I want to do issue 4 of Staunch Ambition next? I kind of want to do that. But if things take off at the firefighter book, financially and just practically, it might be better just to do another firefighter book, maybe Windy City, like Chicago, or maybe another one. I don't know. So I'm kind of on the fence, and I'm writing ideas down, but I haven't committed to what's the next project.
Well, it's very, it's impressive, man. It's so impressive, and I'm so happy for you, because, you know, we've known you about as long as we've been doing this, and, you know, looking at Staunch Ambition, it's evident your blood, sweat, and tears are in the projects you do. And to see something like this, you know, really strike a chord, again, just makes me happy. I'm very happy for you, man. Congratulations.
A lot of tears.
he says with a stone face.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, man. And, you know, it's kind of weird being in this position, because now you, like, you get people who are fans, and they back you, and they're waiting for the next issue, and you feel this obligation to be successful, man. It's like, for them, I must be successful. So it's like, well, I'm going to just focus on trying to do quality, just do my best. The marketing is the biggest difficulty. So maybe, you know, down the road, I'll go with a publisher. But right now, it's like me and I have a day job and kids. I'm going to continue to self-publish.
I can't wait to get my hands on a copy at Wizard, actually. I didn't even think about that till just now. You're going to be having them at Wizard World, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there you have it. People right here in Columbus, Ohio, if you don't even want to wait to order a copy, you want to just get pick one up at the con, because you're probably going to go already if you're listening to this, I would imagine. Don't forget to use that promo code at checkout, CANDARE, get 10% off. But pick up yourself, use that 10% to get Brian's book, Inferno City Firehouse. Why not? You've saved the money.
They mentioned CANDARE. I'll give them a discount on the book.
Wow.
Sweet. No, thank you, man.
How about that? How about that? You can't beat that, people. Just go to Brian Elow at Wizard World, say CANDARE, and you get a discount. Son of a bitch. Thank you.
Yeah, say it like cool, too, you know, CANDARE.
Just don't make it creepy, right?
Well, very good, man. So we've got your social media, which we're going to be pushing. I believe it's just at Staunch Ambition and at Inferno City Firehouse, correct?
Well, the social media is both of those. I have, you know, one for those, but the website is staunchambition.com because I started that first, and so I just added Inferno City Firehouse to the website. So yeah, you can get the social medias, or you can go to the website for both at staunchambition.com, and it's on Comixology, soon to be on Amazon, the physical book, and you can order the books through my website as well. And I have original music I like to bring up all the time for the books, so professionally made original music. So
that's a selling point for me. When people put a soundtrack to a comic, that is a huge selling point for me. Even if it's a comic I'm not going to be into, it's like, well, hey, it's got music. Right. I like music.
Good, too. Good music.
So this is with Inferno City Firehouse, there's music, or are you just talking Staunch?
Well, the music was all originally done with Staunch, but right. I do every book someone buys, I offer them some music. So, you know, I got instrumental music that could fit, you know, and I used one of the songs in the Inferno Sophisticated. I don't know what the name of the book is. I used one of the songs in my Inferno City Firehouse trailer that I did for the Kickstarter. So you can go to the website and you can get a taste of several of the different songs from the videos I did. I use those. It's awesome, man. I use them in my trailers, and then I use them when people buy the books. I send an email to them.
So, I'll do that. I will look that up. Nice. I wasn't even aware that was available there. Yeah.
So I'll send you the music if you remind me.
Absolutely. I definitely will. I'm anxious to hear it. Very cool, man. Yeah. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for taking time to be here with us today, especially very last minute. Always comes through for us. You're one hell of a dude, and one hell of a creator at that. Looking forward to seeing you here in Columbus, Brian. But as always, thank you for being here, man.
Yeah, it's an honor, man. Look forward to it. I happen to have the night off as far as free, so... love it.
Everything's turning up CANDARE.
Oh, yeah.
Randy, what do we got on the website?
Check out our website, CANDARE.com. CANDARE podcast.com. Check out previous shows, special guests we've had on. If you are an artist and want to come on the show, send us a message on our contact us page. And
There you go. And again, find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air and head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod to not only get access to our monthly Patreon show, but to get the power that comes with it. Ultimate power for $5 a month. You can't beat that, people. You cannot beat that. And again, Wizard World's coming to town, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Columbus, Ohio. I believe that's October, what, 17th, 18th, 19th, something like that?
Sounds right, yeah.
Second weekend of October. So, Canned Air at promo. Get 10% off your tickets. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to save 10% and then go give that 10% to Brian?
Exactly.
You know, then you can get, Staunch Ambition, Inferno City. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
It just frustrates me when people don't use the promo code, Randy.
Please
use the promo. And they can get a discount on my books.
Yeah, and then turn around and buy Staunch Ambition. Come on, it's like a...
At a discounted rate, too.
Yeah, there you go.
I forgot about that. Say Canned Air to Brian at the show. Get more of it. Oh, my God, the savings. From one episode, the savings. Son of a bitch.
And still in the back room.
I'm percolating here, Brian. I'm percolating. And don't forget to check out our other show, What If, at whatifpod.com, or if you just search Canned Air Productions in your podcast player of choice, this show and that show should both come up. We're the What If Pod that has the yellow text and the blue background, but every few weeks, we pick a topic to look at where, like, what if people could fly, what if Bigfoot had been found, what if the Earth was actually flat, and we look at, for 45 minutes, we look at that, and tear it apart.
Yeah.
Debate. What if it actually were? What differences would we see in this world? So check that out again at whatifpod.com or on your podcast player of choice. Just search Canned Air Productions and it should come up along with this show. Anything else, Randy?
No, I think that's it.
Everything wrapped up in a nice little package right here today on Canned Air. So without further ado, I am Jeremy Colley.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Brian Lau.
Thanks for listening, everyone. James Bond Jr. No one can stop him, but scum always tries. A young Bond cuts through each web of spies. He learned the game from his Uncle James. Now he's heir to the name James Bond. James Bond Jr. Look out, he's coming through. He's got a job to do while he rescues the girl. James Bond Jr. chases scum around the world.
The Flintstone has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
What are you doing out here? I thought you were grounded.
My parents are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Sorry, Brian, I don't know if you have an affection for him or not, but I was just...
No.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go.
I just thought he was a good like Luther.
Sure. So was Kevin Spacey, and look where that got him. I'm on fire tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Science, science, science! Science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes... Yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.